What I would like to do to begin with is to have a little review. And by the way, you're welcome to cheat on the paper you have in front of you, okay? Let us just get warm up a little bit about it. So who can tell me right off the cuff, what is fasting?
Not eating.
Okay, yeah, that's one answer.
Abstaining from something. We talked about other types as well.
Like okay, not eating, abstaining.
Abstaining from things.
Anything else?
Mourning.
Okay. Anything else?
To get closer to God.
Okay. So if I look like a parrot repeating, it's because I want the recorder to not miss some of your answers. That was a little bit of a problem last time, I think, right? Missing, not hearing the mic, not getting your voice. But very good. So that answers, what is it? So the next question is, what is not? Now, if you already spoke, try to let somebody else try to answer that. What is not fasting?
It's not going on a diet to lose weight.
Okay.
Not trying to impress others.
Okay. Another answer?
A ritual for ritual's sake.
It's not a ritual. It's not a tradition. We talked about what movie at that time? Hey, good memory. All right. All right. Okay. What else is not?
Part of this is
so we also learned that it's not for praise to yourself, right? That is not to draw admiration. And that is a fleeting respect. Some people might be impressed, right? But at the end, it just goes away, right? It's like fashion, or like the Bible says, the dew of the morning. Okay.
It's not like trying to get a goal as far to, I just want to prove I can do it.
Right. Okay. So, also we talked about that it's not mere deprivation. And we talked about the paradox of it. What's the paradox of fasting?
If you just try to go without for the sake of going without, then it might, what?
If you do it, but you do it dangerously, what could happen?
You could faint.
I'm sorry? You could faint. Okay. But you can give, who's our enemy?
Satan.
You can give the enemy a foothold on you, and then you might end up tripping rather than being lifted up by fasting.
So there was that person, 1 Corinthians, about advice to married couples, and he said that, the husband and wife belong to each other and you should give each other your marital rights. And, if you choose to abstain for a while so that you can pray and fast, he said, just don't do it so long that you end up being tempted, because, you will have urges that are going to give the devil a foothold. So don't stay apart for too long is what he's saying.
All right, so what other example they would give about that there's a contradiction that you could fall into?
Instead of saying abstinence, if I said celibacy, would that remind you?
Would that remind you who we talked about? That could be, who else?
About a Catholic priest, would they get married?
Man, you're the saver today. You're saving this crowd today. Man, I'm proud of you. Good job.
I thought of other things, taking a vow of poverty or a vow of silence or other things like that, where people sort of, lay these heavy strictures on themselves. What are you accomplishing? Taking a vow of poverty, I think, you have certain wants as a human being, and, people manage to find a way to sneak around the vow and get what they want,
That reminds me about something my father used to say. Many times missionaries go to Honduras and they kind of try to go for the, middle class to lower class type of thing. But he used to say, there's no missionary reaching for the wealthier class in our country. You know, so while poverty can kind of tie it up with, it just triggered my thought about my dad saying that missionaries could also target the higher society people, the population of the part. All right, so you guys are good, man. What about a little hand for Matt? He saved you guys today. You did a good job. Thank you. All right, so let's go back. And this is, again, trying to get back on the track as to where we left it. And we have Matthew 9, verses 14 and 15. Lois touched base on this when she say to mourn. So anybody wants to read those verses 14 through 15, Matthew 9?
Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast."
All right. So what do you think of that picture? Here you are in a wedding, all like decorated, like this is Christmas, but there's decoration for wedding, and suddenly some the bride starts like, there's another movie, maybe Matt will help the group here today as well. What's the runaway what?
Right.
Right? So is that what is expected in a wedding? To actually end up crying?
Right.
No.
Yeah, so it doesn't make sense, Christ says, right? It's like snow in summer. Mm. Is that, do they go along?
It's like going on a diet on Thanksgiving, right? I mean, that's what we were saying, you know?
Yeah.
Gobble.
Today is a day to be grateful and to enjoy the Lord's gifts and don't sit around with a long face, you know? Time's appropriate for that, but not today, you know.
All right. Now, what does Psalm 35, 14 say?
"Yet when they were ill, I put on sackcloth and humbled myself with fasting. When my prayers returned to me unanswered, I went about mourning as though for my friend or brother, I bowed my head in grief, as though weeping for my mother, but when I stumbled, they gathered in glee. Mm-hmm. Attackers gathered against me when I was unaware, and they slaughtered me without ceasing."
Okay, the next one, because we're trying to catch up. This is just warming up, believe it or not. So Joel 2:12-13. Kyle, you want to jump in?
2:12.
2:12 and 13.
"Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm."
So it means, it seems like fasting and mourning kind of go hand in hand, huh? Mm-hmm. All right. Any comments, questions about that?
I thought of a scripture that kind of fits this one, these scriptures to me. There's a time for every purpose under heaven.
Yeah. And now you're quoting Ecclesiastes then.
Yeah, time, in other words, when it's appropriate. So there's a time for every purpose.
All right, sure.
So I guess my comment about the Joel would be, you know, this kind of mourning is mourning over sinfulness and, you know, a repentance, the mourning of repentance, not mourning over, you know, a bereavement. I mean, there is bereavement in this, but it's because the Lord is laying a heavy hand on them because of their sinfulness. So, you know, he's taking away things from them, so it calls them to mourn.
Thank you. Questions? Okay, let's go for Acts 10, 30 and 31. Somebody can beat me to it.
So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God.
Mm-hmm. So what was he doing?
Fasting.
Okay.
Praying.
All right. So fasting and praying, like mourning, goes hand in hand as well, huh? So it's like a trio right there.
I guess the interesting thing about him doing it is, you know, he's on the outside. You know, he's a Gentile, but obviously that's common enough, accepted enough practice that, you know, it's a standard part of devotion to them. You know, when you read the beginning of the story, it says, you know, once there was a man named Cornelius or whatever, it doesn't mention the fasting. But then when he goes to tell his story, you know, it says he was praying. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you find out when he tells the story himself, he was fasting and praying as if, you know, this is a, you know, it's just a normal thing for a religious person, you know, a devout person, I should say, to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, guys, I have a surprise for you tonight. Huh?
We're having pizza?
I was trying to warm you up a little bit so that you were routing already and had Brother Dave all excited going to do the next part. Brother Dave, you want to take it from there? The next potion. The right moment of fasting. You kind of ran over that verse a little bit. But it's okay. Let's go over it. The important now is thinking about right moment of fasting.
Well, I'll read over again. Then John's disciples came and asked him, how is it that we the Pharisees fast, but you disciples, your disciples do not fast? Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody have any thoughts on that one?
I think it means that Jesus is with them. And
say it again.
I said that they said that because Jesus was with them, right? Mm-hmm. At that time, he was going to be with them and then they fast, right?
Right. But what were they wondering about Jesus and his disciples? What was the question?
Why don't they fast?
Why don't they fast?
Why don't they fast? Yeah.
Right? Is that a legit question? Wouldn't you think of? You think so?
Yeah.
Pharisees do it all the time. They do it for a hypocrisy. Say,
yeah.
What about the disciples of John? Were they more? Were they doing it because of wrong reasons? The disciples of John? What about them?
John the Baptist.
They were still doing things in the old Jewish way.
Right.
And, you know, Jesus is the new way.
Right.
So John's disciples were used to doing fasting as the Jews fasted.
Well, another question, I guess, is did the disciples never fast before, or was it after?
I would guess that they had done it before because they're typical Jews.
Yeah.
And that's just part of your annual, you know, there's definitely the Day of Atonement every year that everybody's supposed to fast, but, you know, there might be, you know, just as part of being an average Jewish person, you probably had other occasions when they would do it. But, you know, here's this new man on the scene who's shaking up the religious world, and, you know, he's got these disciples with him, and they never, you know, how come you guys are so different? That sort of thing.
Jesus could have said that to him, too. I don't know if that happened yet, but he didn't eat for 40 days. Mm-hmm. I call that fasting.
Right, but that he was alone. That was the first thing that happened right after he was baptized, right? You know, he's baptized and then it's off into the wilderness right away. I think it's coming up later.
Well, this seems like a whole new thought or sort of thing for the disciples to fast.
Mm-hmm.
I think up to now they hadn't really thought much about it. I think
maybe Jesus never asked them to fast, right?
Like,
he's self-aware that he is the Messiah.
He's the bride.
And he has the answer to the question. I mean, he's not just making excuses for them. It's a real valid reason for them not to be.
What are they doing? To purge their bodies of impurities, or what's the reasoning behind all that?
I don't think it's for that. It's just like in the law, you know, it says you shall afflict your soul, which just means, you know, make it hard on yourself.
Sure.
Well, I think it's a show of a sacrifice on their part.
Mm. So the Day of Atonement is the day when, you know, the special sacrifice, you know, it's the one day a year where the priest goes in and goes into the Holy of Holies and makes the one sacrifice that's supposed to cover the sins of the people for a whole year. And so the Lord said, you know, this whole, like, no parties on this day, right? It's a very serious and somber day. We're dealing with sin today. So, you know, it is a kind of, it has that flavor of I'm dealing with sin, or I'm dealing with the fallout from sin. You know, like the Joel verse, you know, we're confronted with the sin of our nation, the sin of us as a people, you know, kind of being out of relationship with the Lord. So there's a time to be serious. And, you know, we're not going to be watching game shows today, and, you know, we're not, right? Don't you know we're trying to be serious? So I think it's that sort of thing. It's not, I don't think there's any physiological thing about it, like, you know, like they do it for today, you know, drink half a gallon of water and fast for a day and, you know, flush. No, none of that. It's not, you know, think in terms of, you know, vitamins and minerals and all that. You know, it's the same way they would put sackcloth on, put dirt on your head. You know, what's that for? Well, it's to show I'm abasing myself.
Well, I'm thinking, too, that they had Jesus right there with them, and you've supposed to fast to pray about concerns, needs, you know, what's about your country, you know, whatever. But when you got Jesus there right with you, you don't need to be, there's the answers right there, you know what I mean? You only need to go fast and pray about it for when, you know, you can get the answer straight from the horse, as they say, you know, and you don't. So to me, it wasn't time for them to fast as long as they had the one with all the answers right there with them.
Well, I just wondered, even though he was there, that they felt if they fasted, it would be a special closeness, you know, to Jesus at the time.
I think if they knew he was from God, you know, it's, you know, who do you say that I am? It's much later than this. You know, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And I still think they don't even really know that, you know, you are literally from God. You know, Jesus would say, I came from God, but another person could say that and you would understand, you know, I'm an important person representing God. But, you know, when Jesus says, I came down from heaven, it's different for him. And I don't know that they understood all that quite. You know, they wouldn't think in terms of the Trinity or anything like that. So I don't think they thought until after the resurrection, this is God that we're with. You know, the Son of God means something like, you know, like King David, you know, it's chosen one. Go ahead.
Yeah, if I may, it makes me think of when Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. What did they do? Hit with a cloak the next one to them, and then finally got to John and said, ask him, who is it, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's the Pharisees asking of Jesus, I never see you fasting. How come you're a great master and you're not teaching the fasting or supporting it, right? And so now maybe the disciples of John the Baptist were asked, why doesn't Jesus? If you say that this is the man, he's not fasting. So maybe John the Baptist felt a little bit the itching and say, let me send the disciples and ask Jesus what's going on here that he's not fasting. Maybe. All right, so back to you.
Okay, now I'll read Acts 27:33. Okay. just before the dawn, Paul urged them to eat. For the last 14 days, he said, you have been in a constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything.
What's the important thing
for you?
What
the question was that he fasted for 40 days. Right?
Who? These people in the reading.
Yeah.
14.
It says 40,
right? No, 14.
No, only the Lord.
Okay. Well, they have 14.
Well, they were on a ship. They were in a storm at sea. I think they didn't eat because, well, I guess I never thought of it as being for prayer purposes. That time, I thought of that as, you know, we're about to die. So I guess it's possible that they said, well, we need to fast, but I always felt if you were in a tempest for 2 weeks, you would need to eat to have your strength. But they didn't. So he said, you've been 2 weeks without food. I guess I never considered that occasion.
That's pretty much stretching it, going 14 days.
I would think, yeah. But I guess they were just... I guess the sailors must have not been fighting the storm. They must have just been trying to ride it out. You know, maybe we were fasting and praying and asking the Lord, you know, please make this stop, you know, preserve our lives, get us out of this. And because that's kind of how that passage ends, right? Paul says, you know, enough of the fast. The Lord told me he's going to save all our lives and nobody here on the ship is going to perish, so let's eat. Well, then they eat and then they throw the rest of the food overboard. So, because that says to lighten the ship, right?
All right, so interesting topic as far as non-believers.
I guess I would say that, you know, Paul had an answer, right? He said, the Lord that I serve appeared to me, and he said everybody's going to be safe. So, like, why go on fasting? You know, it's kind of the thing with David and the baby that passed away. Is the baby dead? Yes, he's dead. Well, okay, so I guess we can stop praying now because we got our answer. The Lord said we're going to be safe, so the fast is over. So maybe that's why.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and we've talked earlier about a limit to fasting, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Brother Dave. Terrific job. Thank you. So, but let us switch gears and let's go to the part C of this topic, which is the fasting purpose. So, what first reference do you find there?
Matthew 6:16.
Okay, want to read it?
No, I don't have it. I have it.
Okay.
And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Mm. Oh, you want to go to 18. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you.
Well, let's see if I can resemble that, Mark. I don't do my hair, not that it would. I need much help being undone, but... And you look around and like this, and tired, couldn't stay up.
Provide some dirt for you to put on your head.
Okay. All right. So maybe a little one of those things, shade is that called? The ladies put on a shadow. I don't know what that. But anyway, didn't bring the war paint for warriors and the military either. But so it's about appearance that we're talking about, right? Is that the purpose, to give an appearance of what you're doing?
You're not trying to get people to...
Is that what the advice is? All right. Paul, would you mind reading Ezra chapter 8, verses 21 through 23, please?
Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahavah, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. For I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we had spoken to the king, saying, "The hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him." So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer.
So he did what? So what was Ezra looking for?
Well, they had a specific prayer. They're about to go hundreds of miles over the desert, right? And they wanted a safe journey.
So what would say he was...
He was ashamed to ask the king
because he had already said God will take care of us. But then, you know, he found out they needed some help. So that's when they prayed, and that's when God answered that.
So
they prayed and fasted.
Mm-hmm. So he got an answer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would call that a reward.
Right.
Okay. So that's the purpose, to get an answer.
Yeah, I guess I didn't, you know, when we say, you know, do it in secret and the Lord will reward you, you know, I think we tend to think, well, you know, after you die, the Lord will reward you, or, you know, sometime way off in the future and, like, you know, life will be better for you. But I think maybe it means more, the Lord's going to hear your prayer, you know, if you're really fasting, like Ezra, okay, we entreated God. He's obviously not doing it just for show. On the other hand, you know, it's not a secret either. He's, you know, he got the people together and said, listen, you know, we have to seriously pray. Set aside a day or two for us to pray about this. And, you know, we're getting ready to go travel these hundreds of miles. Pray that the Lord keep us safe from bandits. And, you know, we don't need the soldier's escort because we have God.
So, what else was he seeking? Because he was fasting, right? But he had a petition from who? From whom? Try to read it again, Paul, please. Ezra 8:21 and 23.
Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. For I was ashamed to request of the king an escort.
Right there. He was ashamed of? So he fasted so that... Through whom was he asking God the answer from? You just read it, Paul.
No, he said he didn't want to ask the king first. Like, if we're going to go across a journey, if I know the king, I'm going to say, well, would you mind sending 100 soldiers with us to protect us along the road? He said, I was embarrassed. I didn't want to do that.
I told you the reason.
But at the end, who had the power to let him go?
Well, the king said he could go. But, like, he had bragged on God, you know, God will keep us safe while we're going. So, you know, God will keep us safe if you send us 100 soldiers with us or something like that. And he said, well, I didn't want to ask for the 100 soldiers. I just wanted us to go.
Can I tell you that then he was also looking for recognition? Not in a boastful manner. Braggadocious, to use the word Trump used at the beginning of his campaign. Was that?
Is that a word?
Okay. I don't know if it is in the English dictionary, but I kept him here and say, but recognition, right? He wanted to be humble and modest as to what the king should supply to him in his prayer, though he was embarrassed to ask a little bit too much either. But at the end, who was to provide that lead? The king.
God, through the king.
Either.
If anything, the king gets to see that the people made it safely without my kingly help. You know, I didn't want to ask the king for help. So we prayed, we asked God, so that, you know, when the people make it safely to the other end, the king said, well, you know, they made it then. So their, you know, their prayers were answered.
What did the king end up sending them in?
No.
No, they went alone.
No. Because the king recognized him, that he was dependent on God alone, but not asking for
okay.
the help,
right? Only the leave. So, but why is that a reward? Why are we talking that God answered and that's a reward?
God answered his prayer because you know, he was depending on God for that.
I think it would be
rather
called
than on the king and rather than on soldiers.
I think it's because it's truthful. He was true to God. He was asking for prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And he was fasting.
Yeah.
Because
it is
a sincere prayer.
Uh-huh.
Because some people pray like kind of like Bihaba, his motive, it depends on the motive of the prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So God recognized his heart and God answered his prayer.
Thank you. God answered his prayer.
I would say that, you know, the aftermath of it, you know, the journey's over, we made it safe. That's a witness to all the people who traveled, to all the people who watched them arrive, and to all the people who saw them leave. God, you know, God listened to these people,
mm-hmm.
and they have another means at their disposal besides human means. So I feel like that's important in the situation that we're in. You know, what do they say? You know, pray and keep your ammo dry or something like that. You know, it's like, well, we're gonna say we rely on God, but really I'm relying on Smith & Wesson, you know. So it's the same sort of thing, you know. If we're gonna lean on God and say we're leaning on God, you know, he said, you know, when I sent you out and you didn't have a money bag, you didn't have a spare coat,
mm-hmm.
you didn't have a flight, you know, hotel arrangements, did you lack for anything? No, we had safe journey the whole way. So see, that's the sort of thing. So the disciples learned, oh, God is with us. They learned by experience. That's the only way to learn, I think, to say, look, the odds are against us. You know, we don't need the police escort. You know, we're going to trust in God. And, you know, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, well, and even if he doesn't, you know, we're still not going to worship your God.
Good. So who's the next reader? Is that my beloved one?
Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish.
Mm. Okay.
Which is against the law.
So now, who is she asking to pray and fast from?
Mordecai and all the Jews.
Was she asking this from the Gentiles to fast for him?
His fellow Jews, her fellow Jews.
So fasting should be from the group of people it's intended for. It should come from it, right? Would you agree that?
Right. Because you cannot say to the unbelievers like, oh, well, let's go fasting. They don't understand that. But if you say that to the believers, they're going to understand it.
Boy, was she doing something illegal here?
Protocol-wise, I guess, on the time.
She picked and chose a nice word there, protocol. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't just show up in the king's presence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might think you're, who knows? Well, you know, you can't just have an intruder
mm-hmm.
walk in uninvited.
Okay. All right. So, when we pray and fast, we need to seek it from among ourselves, from within ourselves. But what would be another word to say she was looking for in that approach, when asking for fasting? What was she looking for from the king, or from God? Yes, that's another way. But
well, it's kind of for God to turn the king's heart in a certain way to be favorable to her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I say, you know, pray for the right words at the right time. You know, I have to go on before the king, so I need, you know, the king to pardon my boldness.
Mm-hmm.
I need to. Yeah, I need to have the right words to say because I need, you know, this is a matter of life and death for the
mm-hmm.
Jews, and that he'll listen.
So, Matt, would you agree that they were looking for God's guidance? Mm-hmm. Of course. All right. What's another word for guidance?
Instructions.
Direction.
direction.
Favor.
Mm-hmm.
Enlightened.
Can I tell you another word? It's a big word. Consultation. Consultation. Okay. Now, you know, I was watching a video by Dr. Stanley.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And he gave an interesting approach to this question, you know, why are we bored? And he says, just because you fast, God is not going to give you, grant what you're asking for. That has nothing to do on this action. But I liked what he says, is that it gets us ready for God's answer. If you're not in tune,
mm-hmm.
what would that be? AM, FM, radio?
Mm-hmm.
Stereo, maybe FM is better because you get a little bit better sound. Enjoy it. Okay? So get us in fasting, get us ready for God's answer. And that's a reward. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, who has Acts 10 and 31?
I do.
Okay, please.
Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms are remembered in the sight of God.
Mm. Your alms, they need to pay for that answer? What do you think?
That's interesting. You know, it's God sees your whole life of devotion. You know, Cornelius did do one of these give-to-get schemes. You know, if I give all these gifts, you know, God's going to give me. But that's his lifestyle. He, you know, he submits himself to God. He cares for, you know, he's a compassionate person, and he prays and fasts, and he, the Lord sees.
Would you, what do you think? Was he consulting God to have a better understanding of the scriptures and knowing the salvation? He was a proselyte. What's a proselyte, Kyle? When you bring the word to somebody, you want them to convert. A proselyte was somebody who, he was from where?
Really?
He's a Gentile.
Gentile from Rome.
He's a Gentile, Rome. He was a military guy, right? But he was a proselyte, meaning the Jews want his way of thinking to adopt the Jew religion. Okay? So that's what proselyte is. And so, why was he consulting God? He adopted the Jew religion, keep mispronouncing that, but did he get the answer to his consultation from God?
Doesn't it say, the angel says to him, you know, go find Peter or send for Peter and he'll tell you what you need to know to be saved or something.
By the way,
so he must be praying, you know, I want to know you better. I want to, you know, sort of a God, if you're out there. You know, he made some kind of connection with the Jews and the God of the Jews, but, you know, the full truth and, you know, the whole sun coming out and saying, oh, this is the way to be saved.
Thank you. All right, let's go to Matthew 9:15, and I said the last part of it. Matthew 9:15. We kind of spent time on it already, but please read it again. 19:15, and then jump to 17, to the end of 17, not the whole verse.
Okay, so read that 15b again?
Yeah.
But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast.
And then they will fast. Mm-hmm.
And then go to the second half of 17 too?
The last part of 17.
But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved.
So what's that parable talking about? We now know, because we have read this passage, you would not put new wine in
Holy
the
Spirit.
Old container. What's
Holy
that?
Spirit?
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm. He's saying, you know, there's old, you know, he's answering a question about how come you don't do it like the Pharisees do it. He's saying that, you know, old wineskins aren't fit for this kind of, you know, they're really not fit for new covenant discipleship. You know, this is a new revelation, a new kind of relationship with God doesn't fit into that form. There's a, you need a fresh new, fresh new form to.
So what happens if you have an old, kind of worn out one, like Brother Dave puts his own shirt to work, but Ben Lee wants to put a brand new fabric piece of cloth and patch a hole that she found on his, what happened? This is kind of a similar parable that Jesus also brought up about it.
One rips both things. I mean, it.
You're getting there. Continue, rips.
Rips the old garment, and, you know, the patch is worth nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Can you guess me what word I'm looking for here? But they put new wine into new wineskins. And both are, what's the last word on that verse?
Preserve.
It's for preserve's sake. Now, can you put an old fabric patch on an old shirt? That looks like even, right? More or less. You can continue taking it. Just because it's a new patch, you won't take it. You still won't mind taking it, the shirt to work. But we're talking about that this is when the Lord is taken away, and both are preserved. That's what fasting is for, too. It's a purpose in here, to preserve his disciples. All right. Any questions, grunts? Let's go to, who wants to read Acts 10? We kind of spent these verses already over. Hopefully I'm not confusing with you, but we can still get even additional light from the same verses. Acts 30 and 31.
10:30 and 31. Cornelius said, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God.
Before God, is that all up to 31?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what's Peter realizing here?
God answered.
First, Peter sees what vision?
He saw the animals and the sheep.
And what did he say? Did he dare? Was he so hungry that he just entered into eat what animal would be impure?
We don't know.
A pig? Maybe
they said I would not eat that. A turtle?
Okay. So, but what does God tell him? He says, get up, kill, and eat. So, can I buy you the idea that this is for discovery's sake? When you pray and fasting, are you not trying to discover something? Are you not trying to have a revelation as to what God is approving for you? So, can I sell you the idea this is for discovery? Peter realized Gentiles what? Gentiles can what?
Be saved.
Right? Gentiles, salvation is also for them. Okay. And what was the discovery found by Cornelius? Let's look at the end of verse 33.
Listen.
What's that?
To listen. You're in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. That's what the ending says in my Bible.
So, what's Cornelius? I keep putting an attempt to go to my Spanish. But what's Cornelius' discovery?
It's going to be the gospel. Peter's going to tell him about Christ. Putting your faith in Christ to be saved.
About salvation. And again, Matt, what was the movie there?
Fiddler on the Roof.
So he was learning. What, don't you love that? You just learned a new thing, right? And suddenly somebody says, hey, that's obsolete. It's like technology nowadays. Man, I said, now I can send an email, but soon comes now a text messaging and whatever. So you cannot keep up with things. So Cornelius is learning all the commandments and the traditions of the law because he was a proselyte. Now he's discovering that there's more to it than just learning traditions, right?
Interesting.
All right. But Pastor would scold me or excuse me if I continue. So we'll stop it here. And can I ask the Sister Linda to dismiss us to end and pray, please?
We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to gather to look into your word and try to draw from it so that we can honor you in our lives and learn more and grow in our faith. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here with us, as we turn to our homes. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Linda. Thank you, everybody, to put up with my.
I guess the thing that I take away from it is, you know, for myself, I'm so used to just sort of going with the flow, you know, like whatever you want to do, you know, I'll just respond this. But to say, you know, we want this outcome, you know, like the way with Ezra, yeah, that's how, you know, pray for me for this thing, you know, I want this outcome, you know, and if the church and the government in the future are going to be at loggerheads, you're going to need to pray for favor in front of some Gentiles at some point, you know, and people were always praying for Paul, and if you read all his letters, he says, you know, pray for me that a door would be opened, and you're also helping me with your prayers. So he says, look, not everyone has faith. You know, I need favor. You know, God will open doors. God will give me favor with, you know, whoever, Caesar, whatever. You know, we have our own Caesars that think they run the world, but sooner or later, they do have the power to lock you up or let you go, and you need to.
Thank you again.
Good time for that.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.